is, baptism, just how important is it? Verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a loud voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this people who have gathered together to hear it preached. We pray, Lord, you'd help me to do it right. Help them to listen right. Help us to gain what you'd have for us today. Help us to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Be seated today. Thank you for your presence today. Through the years, we find that, back up on that again. Through the years, we've noticed that some things that are very important to the Lord have become less important to many people. Things that at one time were thought to be a no-brainer, that everyone would do it, today are avoided and even scoffed at by people who would consider themselves good Christians. So we're here today, and on the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the behalf of Bethel Baptist Church, I want to poise this question to your heart and to your mind. Just how important is baptism? Now, let me say before we get started, and we'll make a reference to this in the message, baptism is not an essential to go to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible testifies that he that hath the Son, he that hath Jesus, hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so God draws a very real but very invisible line all the way around the world, and every person that has ever been born was on one side of that line or the other. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so when we talk about baptism, and we're going to stress the importance of it today, we want to know that it is not an essential to go to heaven. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But baptism, to show the importance of it, is mentioned, the Lord Jesus being baptized, in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of them tell a little bit of a different outlook. They point out something a little bit more or a little bit additional, perhaps. There's no contradiction. There's no thing like that. But some people, God used some people to tell this part of it and some people to tell that part of it. And so God wants us to use the whole book to really get the story. But we need to understand that they all mention the baptism of Jesus. And let me emphasize this again. Jesus certainly was not baptized in order to get saved. And so if we're baptized like him, we can't be baptized to get saved. We need to understand that. And so the Bible says of the Lord Jesus, he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so then John went ahead and baptized him. And the Father said from heaven, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so one indication of its importance is that the Lord Jesus was baptized. And then a second thing we find is that Jesus went approximately 40 miles in order to be baptized. Now, when he went for those 40 miles, he went from Nazareth in Galilee to Anion, near to Salim, in John chapter 3 and verse number 23, and he went on foot, or rode perhaps a donkey, or worse yet, maybe a camel, maybe a horse, but I don't find Jesus riding a horse. I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere, but he perhaps did. I know he did ride a donkey when he entered Jerusalem and they laid the palm branches down and so forth, but probably he went by foot. An indication again of the importance of it was the fact that he went 40 miles in order to be baptized. To me, that says something. Now, I did some searching and I found out that the average person, depending on their age and their health and their strength, their stamina, where they're going, what they're doing, the average person walks about 3 miles per hour. Now, probably most people here, especially the men, would probably walk a little faster than that. And Jesus may have walked faster than that. But 3 miles an hour, 13 plus hours to get baptized. Now, that's putting an exclamation mark behind the importance of baptism. And then the Bible gives us two reasons for why he went where he went, this 40 miles, in order to be baptized. First off, the Bible tells us that there was much water there. Now, if there was much water there, then that eliminates the idea of pouring for baptism. That eliminates the idea of sprinkling for baptism. I mean, they could have done that by a horse tank. They could have done that by a bucket of water. But they didn't. Jesus went 40 miles because there was much water there. When we were in Austria, we had the privilege of going up on the highest place in the city. And it's called the Hohenfest. In other words, we'll hold you fast for a long time. It was the political prison was up on top of the hill, and for a long time, Catholicism controlled that place, and people would talk about different rumors that had been stated, and different traditions that somewhere or another that. They had held people captive long enough that there should be catacombs or something, and the Catholic Church denied it and said that's not true, that was just anti-Catholicism and get over that and so forth. But then one day the Lord sent an earthquake, and the front fell off the mountain, and it looked like an anthill. That you had, when you're a child, you took a jar and you filled it full of sand and put a bunch of ants in there and put the lid on it, and your mama said they better not get out. And you wrapped it with a black piece of construction paper, and you waited for a while. And then when you took that off, you could see all these tunnels and one thing or another, these little rooms that they'd made, and they'd lay eggs some places, and they had nurseries different places and all that. That's what the front of this mountain looked like when the Lord shook it with that earthquake. Well, they began to investigate those catacombs. And we were there a number of times. I loved to go. That was one of my favorite parts to go. People would come and say, well, I want to see the Sound of Music. I said, I want to take you to the Hohenfest. And would go down into the Hohenfest, and there'd be tunnels and trails and one thing and another. And then you came to a room that was probably nearly as big as this room. Not quite, nearly as big as this room. And then there was a window in the end of the room that had been cut in rock. The rock wall at that place was about 6 inches or 8 inches thick, and they had cut a big window in it. And if you were a member of the church, you could come into this room. Now, these are prisoners. If you weren't a member of the church, you had to stay in that room and listen through the window. The first time you could come into this room, if you had not been baptized up above, was when you came for the service of baptism. And there was a trough about 6 feet long, about 18 or 20 inches deep, carved in solid rock. Now, there wasn't any water fountain there. They didn't have any garden hoses anywhere. There was no way that the pool truck could back up and fill up the trough with water. So they snuck it down a cup at a time and filled that baptistry. And twice a year, they had a baptismal service. And if you had trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could come from that wall to that baptistry and you could be baptized. Now listen, if baptism by immersion isn't important, I'm saying there were some pretty dumb prisoners there to welcome death in order to do the baptism like God wanted it done. Pretty important to me, I believe. Jesus went there 40 miles because there was much water. The second reason that Jesus went to this particular place, the Bible tells us that that's where John the Baptist was. Someone says, well, why is that important? Because the Bible tells us that John the Baptist was the only person on the top side of God's earth that had authority given to him by God. And listen, incidentally, that's where authority comes from. Real, legitimate authority comes from God. And so he had the authority of God to baptize. He's the only one. Here's what he said. He that sent me to baptize. John the Baptist recognized his calling to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because the Lord Jesus Christ gave him that power, and Jesus knew that's where John was, and there was much water there, so Jesus walked 40 miles to be baptized by a certain place, or in a certain place by a certain person. History will attest to that. Now, the authority that John the Baptist had was transferred from John the Baptist not to a deacon, not to a pastor, not to an evangelist, not to a Bible society. The authority to baptize that John the Baptist had was transferred from John the Baptist to that church that Jesus started. Now, if you are a friend of Protestantism, then you're about 1,600 years late, because Jesus had already started his church. If you're a familiar or a friend of Catholicism, you're about 600 years late, because that church wasn't started until about 600 years after the death of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus started a church while he was on earth. He was the pastor of it. He prayed all night. He called his disciples together. He named 12 of them apostles. And that's when he started his church, Luke chapter number 6. Important. How important is baptism? Just exactly how important is it? Now, at Jesus' baptism, it's one of the very few places that you see all three members of the Trinity revealing themselves at the same time. Jesus, of course, was there being baptized. And as he came up out of the water, the Bible says, and that's another indication it was burial, as he came up out of the water, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended upon him. In another place, it says in bodily shape as a dove and landed on him. There's the Son and there's the Holy Spirit. And then no sooner had that happened and folks heard a word from heaven, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Of all the places, of all the times, of all the appearances that Jesus could have shown up with the Father and the Son, the Father and the Holy Spirit there with him, this is one that he chose to do that with. I think, again, indicating the importance of it. And then the ministry of the Lord Jesus, his active ministry, began only after he was biblically baptized. Very important. People wonder sometimes, why? Why isn't God using me? How come the Lord... If you're saved and you're wrestling with not being baptized, you're living in disobedience. And God is not going to honor us, listen, like he wants to, when we're walking in disobedience. When your child is good, you do everything you can to help him, to encourage him. But when he is disobeying, now, you still do good things like spanking him and chasing him and so forth, but you have a different attitude towards him. And the Father is no different. He gives us earthly fathers to tell us things about how he takes care of us and wants to take care of us. And so we find that the Bible testifies that Jesus' ministry really began after he was baptized. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness. Of course, he's there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says he didn't eat anything for 40 days, 40 nights. And then the Bible almost puts in something you wouldn't think had to be there. And afterward he hungered. 40 days, 40 nights. And afterward he hungered. And that helps us to understand that though the Lord Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, he still was human. He still was human. And the hunger that he had is the hunger that you and I would have had we been in the same place for 40 days and 40 nights. And so his ministry began after the baptism. And then, let me say, baptism is connected to salvation. Only those people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, there's been a time in their life when they came to the Lord Jesus, and they recognized that their works were not good enough. Their whatever it might be, you know, giving money to the United Way, buying Girl Scout cookies, helping little old ladies across the street, doing good works and chivalrous things. Those things, they came to a place where they realized, I'm undone, my soul's not satisfied, I need something. And they hear the gospel and the fact that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that He did that for us. And so they put their confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to be their Savior, and they're born again. And so only those people who have been saved can be scripturally baptized. My wife and I heard the gospel the first time. Both of us heard it the same night. I heard the gospel, and in faith, I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to save me. My wife heard the gospel, same time, same speaker. My wife heard the gospel, and she thought that I was trying to work a con on the preacher. Speaks higher of her than it does of me. And so what she said, almost exactly the same words I said, but what she said came from here. What I said came from here. I got saved. That night I threw my booze away. The next morning I stepped on a little toy car, and boy, it shot paint up through my foot and up into my leg, and I said, "Dirty what?" And it's like the Holy Ghost almost choked me to death. He said, "Son, you can't talk that way anymore." Okay. And I went ahead and opened the door. And my wife heard me start to curse. And she said, something different. Something different. We got saved on a Thursday. On Friday, I stopped and bought my wife a Bible and brought it home and gave it to her. And she said, something different here. The next Wednesday, we got baptized. I got baptized. My wife got stuck under the water. She said, something different here. And sometime a few days after we were baptized, my wife said to herself, I had gone to work. She was there by herself and the Holy Spirit of God dealing with her heart. And she said, Lord, He got something I didn't get. And she began to rehearse again the gospel, how Jesus died and shed His blood to wash away our sin, and how He was buried and rose again for our justification. And there in our home at 317 Smith Street in Fort Collins, Colorado, she called on the Lord Jesus to save her. And you know what? He did. Yeah. I pastored in Gillette, Wyoming. The fact is, it's 48 years ago this month that we started the church in Gillette, Wyoming. And I pastored there, and then I pastored in Johnson, Kansas, and then I pastored in Gillette, in Colorado Springs. And one day, my wife came walking down the aisle, and she was weeping, and I said, Mama, what's the matter? And she said, I need to tell you something. I need to get baptized. I said, Mom, you got baptized the same time I did. She said, no, because I got saved after I was put under the water. So I had the privilege of baptizing my wife and bringing her into the fellowship of the church there in Colorado Springs. So let me say that baptism is connected to salvation, but only those people who are truly saved can scripturally be baptized. But then all those people that are saved should be scripturally baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now somebody says, well, I don't know how you could say that salvation isn't hanging on being baptized. Well, try this one. The thief on the cross. He said to the Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He never got off the cross to get baptized. Never was he baptized. And yet he went to a place called heaven. But had he been able to get off the cross, he should have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Baptism is the door to a New Testament Baptist church. It's the door. It's the way you get into a New Testament Baptist church. Now, when you get into one church, you can transfer from that church to another church of like faith and practice. And they're getting harder to find, by the way. And you can then you can go to another one of like faith and practice if you chose, if the Lord led you to do so. But baptism itself is the door to your first membership within a New Testament Baptist church. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Baptism is what adds you to the church. And then, of course, baptism, the Bible says that Christ is glorified through the church. It says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So baptism is the door to church membership. And then baptism is the easiest way to testify of our faith in Christ Jesus. It's the easiest way. Now, when you get saved and Jesus comes into your life and heart, everything changes. Now, you're not perfect. Not perfect. But you have a different attitude about everything. The things I used to want to do, oh, some of those I continued to do for a while. But I didn't want to. It bothered me when I did things I wasn't supposed to do. The things that I was supposed to do, I didn't always do those things. But when I didn't do them, it bothered me. It troubled me. I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And hallelujah for that. Thank God I had been that old creature long enough. Well, when I got saved, we lived in a duplex. I could have went over and banged on the wall. Hey, hallelujah, I just got saved. And those folk were Christians, and the lady anyway would have probably rejoiced. I could have went to the next door neighbor, knocked on his door, and when he opened the door, said, hey, hallelujah, I got saved. Well, that'd take a long time to tell very many people. So I could have run out in the middle of the street and just stopped every car that came by. Hey, I got saved. No, I got saved. I could have went to the phone book and just going down the phone book. Y'all do still know what a phone book is, don't you? I could have went down the phone book and just called everybody in there and said, hey, listen, I know this might not mean anything to you, but rejoice with me. I got saved, click. So how am I supposed to tell people that I got saved? Well, God has made a way. God has made a way. And that is through baptism. When we were in Austria, we got to baptize Roland Schauer. He's my son-in-law now. And there was a place where two seas were, and there were huge, big reservoirs, really. But the water would ebb and flow back and forth. And that's where we had our baptismal service. And we walked down into the water and got into water about this deep, and it'd be warm and it'd be cold. Warm and cold. But people would come by and they'd stop on the bridge above that ebb and flow, and they'd say, what are they doing? What are they doing? And folks up there say, they're being baptized. They're Bible believers. They're being baptized. They're doing it like they do in the Bible. They're having a baptismal service. And of course, when we talked about him standing on Christ alone. When a person comes into the baptistry, they're standing there. They're standing on Jesus Christ and what he did, plus nothing and minus nothing. They go under the water. They're testifying, I believe that Jesus died for me to pay for my sin, to take my sin away. And when they come back up, they're saying, I believe that Jesus rose again from the grave and ever lives to make intercession for me. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's the easiest way. And listen, that rules out private baptismal services. Through the years, I've had probably a half a dozen times, maybe more, different people come up to me and say, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to get baptized. I've been saved, and I know I should get baptized, but, boy, I'm just scared to death to get up in front of all those people. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't scared to get hung in front of all those people? And they stripped him naked before they did it. I just can't get up in front of all those people, they'll say. But if you'll do it in private, I'll do that. Sometimes
folk are worried about, you know, they go down and come back up and their hair is all different than it was when they went under. And they're embarrassed by that. But the Bible testifies it's to be done in front of people. A testimony of the fact that I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Once I was lost and now I'm found. I'm saved by the glory of God. And then, of course, baptism is a doctrine. Listen to me now. Thousands. And I don't think I would be exaggerating. I know I wouldn't be exaggerating by saying tens of thousands. Probably hundreds of thousands of our Baptist forefathers died over that particular doctrine. If you were to read The Trail of Blood, they quote a Catholic cardinal in there, and I forgot the number, that they say that the number of people that Catholicism took the life of over the subject of baptism. And people were willing to die rather than recant their baptism. How important is baptism? I'd say pretty important. But like all things, there has to be that balance. Because if you go one way or the other way, if you add something to it and make it more important than it's supposed to be, then it won't work. If you take something away from it by sprinkling or pouring, aren't you glad when they bury someone at the cemetery, they don't just take them out there and lay them on the ground and say a few words over them and sprinkle a little bit of dirt on them? The Bible says baptism is a burial. It's a burial. Old things have passed away. Raised to walk in newness of life. All things become new. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to do that today. We're going to have a baptismal service today. Now, I thought it was very appropriate that we share the message of baptism with you this morning again. Could I say to you today that baptism won't get you to heaven? The lack of baptism won't keep you out of heaven. But it's important. It's important because of what God has to say about it. It's important. God gave two ordinances to fundamental Baptist churches to help keep them clean. One ordinance was baptism. And you'd be surprised the people that would be here if it wasn't for the ordinance of baptism. The other ordinance is the Lord's Supper. And God gave that to help keep the church clean. And people have to meet certain specifications, certain specifics, in order to be qualified to take the Lord's Supper right. And that helps keep the church clean. You see, baptism, there's nothing to be proud of in baptism. I'm just doing what Jesus wanted me to do. That's it. Would you bow your heads, please?